Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And Pete Shaw. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore, and it's Thursday the 15th of September. Fact fans, I've not actually Googled what happened. Thursday, 15th of September.
It's my birthday next week.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've got the baps. Famous dates. Historical events on the 15th of September include... it's quite boring, really. Swedish troops occupy Riga. Stag do.
What's boring about that?
Let's have a look. A constitutionalist revolution in Lisbon. You what?
Give us the years.
Oh, 1820 for that one. The first passenger to be killed by a railway train, 1830. Round of applause.
That's William a contribution. Ever heard one. That's a contribution to life, that.
That is. I think I remember that. Were they demonstrating?
You don't remember it? Yeah, it was in 1830. You don't remember
it. I remember the story. He was an MP. And he was,
was
having
he?
A look at the... Yeah, he was... He was run over by Robert Stevenson's pioneering locomotive, the Rocket, which I imagine he was very pleased. Very pleased that happened. Yeah.
To me, the frustration would be just being forgotten.
Yeah, true.
Well, I've always been known for that forever, and I was quite an old person when it happened. I wouldn't mind, but if it's going to be forgotten instantly,
he'd been diagnosed with strangury, a symptom characterized by painful, frequent urination of small volumes, which is good. And and he'd undergone surgery for it, and had been advised by the royal doctor to cancel all forthcoming appointments, which included the opening of the Liverpool and Manchester Railway. This is like the start of 999 or casualty.
I thought you were going to say he'd been advised to not throw himself under a train.
Darling, I really must. Oh, don't go and do that. You've just had a strangury operation. But he rode down the right line in a special train constructed for the Duke of Wellington. This train was the only train on the south track. The other seven were in procession on the northern track. He decided to... Yeah, although the company had implicitly warned passengers to remain on the trains while it took place, some of the dignitaries on board alighted, and he... One of those who got off was Huskisson, who approached the Duke of Wellington to take this opportunity to repair their relationship after a great falling out. And he shook his hand, and then he just basically got absolutely mashed up by the train, the rocket.
How fast was it going, does it say?
I was like, well, it was a rocket. I don't know, pretty quick, you'd imagine.
Yeah, so, but yeah. The expectations were lower then, weren't they?
What a silly sausage. What a silly sausage. Yeah, he was known to be clumsy, and he endured a long list of problems through his regular trips and falls. He'd twice broken his arm and never recovered the use of it. And he just sounded like he was an absolute wreck, to be honest. What an idiot.
Yeah, man, that's a can of worms, if ever I've heard
absolute
of one.
Absolute can of worms.
Well, nice little like start afterwards. To the show. Nice little opener.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Don't mind
little,
that.
Little touch.
Big news in West Norwood. I know we talked a little bit about your neighbourhood or your
my neighbourhood.
Your dreadful contribution to your neighbourhood like a week ago, whatever it was. But there's a lot of stuff kicking off around my way.
All right, what's going on?
The My Streets WhatsApp group. Okay, so My Street's a bit of a strange one because it I don't know how to explain this, but it's a very long street. It's a very residential road, but it's quite long.
Yeah.
And it's separated into two parts, right? So it's kind of bisected by another road. And then when you get over that road, you go further on, but you're still on my road, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So do you understand what I'm saying? So if you were, say, looking for number 50 on my street, you better find it fairly easily. But if you were to look for number 2, you'd find it very hard because you'd look like you were coming to the end of the road, but you actually aren't.
I see, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you go over the road and you carry on. Anyway, so there's always chat about how deliveries aren't being delivered and all the rest of it, and shit's going missing and blah. And there's a lot, to be honest, like, listen, I can't say it too loudly because Kieran next door will hear me speaking because the walls are very thin. And I'm not, I don't want to offend anyone. Kieran's a good lad, but it's not about him. But I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of complaining about shit that doesn't need to be complained about, even in basically central London, which is surprising, right? You normally think of that as being quite a kind of suburban thing.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the other thing about this group in my area is that it's populated by like liberal lefty kind of types that you'd expect in London, but also real busybodies, right? So it's a bit of a combination. It's when worlds collide. So the other day, this is a very long run up to basically saying, the other day there was a guy standing on the corner of one of the intersected streets at like 9 p.m. right? Could have been doing anything. I don't know why, but he was apparently there and I wasn't even here, so I couldn't comment on it. And I've muted the group. It's only when my wife alerts me to stuff
gone on.
So I look at it, yeah. And people were saying, you know, well, there was a man standing there for an hour. And so I called the police. And the police came. Yeah, right, exactly right. And the police came by and they couldn't find any evidence of any crimes. And anyway, I just think we just need to be very, very vigilant. And of course, all these kind of pinkos are like, well, why'd you call the police? Like, it's a bloke standing on the street corner. It's not a crime to do that. And I think there's a kind of, I think there's probably like a... There's kind of racist microaggression undertones to it.
Yeah,
I don't know if the guy was black, you know, black or white. I don't know, but that's kind of what people suggest. So basically, it's all just kicking off, right? Anyway, so the other day I was out for a run, and I ran down the street and I saw a load of crowd of people, and I thought, oh my god, they're having like a big row about this, like on the street. So I was just running past, and as I was running past, one of them called over to me in the middle of my run. Because they saw me coming out of my house. And I thought, oh, no, they're going to get me involved. They're going to actually get me involved. They're going to be like, oh, he lives at 46, so he must be that guy. So I ran over the road to see them, took my headphones out. I was like, all right, what's going on? And they were like, can you take a photo of us, please? Because one of us is moving house and we want to get a big neighbourhood photo. And it was actually nothing. There was nothing going on. But anyway, the point being that what's also now happening is, I don't know if you've heard of this in your area, but apparently people are stealing catalytic converters from cars.
Yes, yeah.
That's like a big thing, right?
Yeah, and I don't know why they're so... It's not titanium, is it? What's the thing? Not lithium.
Is it platinum?
Platinum, that's the boy. They just seem very stealable, don't they? You'd think they'd make them harder to sort of remove.
Yeah, I don't understand how it works. How does it actually work?
You just jack up the car, get underneath, couple of bolts, you made a bit of money. I think it's a pretty decent... I think it's like a couple of hundred quid you get per one, I think.
Yeah, rhodium, palladium and platinum, apparently. Mm. So people are kicking off about that. So I think people are putting two and two together. And in this case, they've got five. And they think, oh, someone's just waiting around to steal someone's shit.
Right.
But
usually criminals, they just get down to it, to be honest. They don't, like, especially with a car. Like, what are they waiting for?
Yeah. I don't know. I think we have had a couple of incidents on our street. We've had, sadly, a few teenagers were stabbed at the top of our road. No one was killed, but there was an incident there on New Year's Eve. We've had a drunk driver flipping his car on our street, which is quite shocking to a lot of people because the street's so kind of residential and quiet normally, and people don't really come down it. So, yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on, but I just... I don't know. Like, the thing that reminded me of it is when you talked about your neighbour putting a note through your door in like such a passive-aggressive way. And I just think to myself, this is like these WhatsApp groups are just or Facebook groups or whatever they are just a really easy way for people to chip off without actually wanting to solve anything.
No.
So
yeah.
If you've got a problem with a guy down the street or the woman up the street, if you went down there and said, "Oh, did you know this is happening? What's going on?" kind of thing. You might find that there'd be either a completely different explanation or that they might want some help. Do you know what I mean? Or they could, could kind of get together and solve the problem. But no one seems to want to do that now. And I think, I wonder whether these things are actually detrimental to the community rather than helping it.
Well, I think certainly the Facebook pages for pretty much every area, it's just people going, "Oh, there's so much rubbish on the floor." It's like, fucking pick it up then.
Oh, really? So people complain about that, yeah?
Just rubbish on the floor. There's like, we're in a situation where, foxes just go in your bins, so you can't put your bins out until the morning of the bins getting collected, and some people don't do that. They put it out before, and so of course the foxes have carte blanche to just fucking, you know, tear the fuck out of the bins and chomp on the chicken and all that stuff. That's just, you know, but it's just life though, isn't it? If you're gonna whinge about every goddamn thing that happens to you, you know, or you just fucking get on. Like when we were away, that's twice, like when I've been away, like some kids have egged the house.
Your house?
Yeah. Well, once with the egg.
Why are you guys so hated? This is like a proper pattern now.
Yeah. No, some kids were just running around because it's school holidays, and it's like our area is a bit of a mix of a nice area and a rough area, because that's what life is, isn't it? There's a rough area next to a nice area. We're in our area, but it gets a bit rougher if you go towards somewhere else. And that's just the way it is. It's the way it goes. And, you just egged a house, and Stu next door, he just wiped the window. Like, he didn't even tell us till we got back. We went, "Oh, some lads egged your window. And there was a tin of paint outside your house, so I brought it inside because I thought
I'd
chuck that around." Solid bloke, solid.
I reckon he's the one writing the letters. Hiding plain
we
sight.
We asked him, I said, "Who's written this letter?" And he went, "Yeah, it's probably the ones you think it is." But the people who lived in the house before us, they had a problem with them as well. So, sounds like they're just a little bit too fucking passag for
I've
anyone.
Got a mate. I've got a mate who... won't remain nameless, his name's Duncan, who is very, very good at embarking upon campaigns of hate towards people who are unfair to him.
Yeah, okay, yeah, nice. Yeah.
Not in an evil way, not in a kind of, you know, unacceptable way or intolerant way. Just if someone comes across his radar being unreasonable or being a dickhead, he will always exact a very kind of poetic vengeance upon them. And I could probably speak to him if you want to see what to do.
Yeah, well, I'm fairly certain the main line to the sewer goes under our house, so I reckon I could climb, if I sort of made an entry point in our drain, I could climb up their fucking toilet.
Right, I will start a Patreon now if you
do that. Right, get myself a little, I've got my diving helmet. I put my big diving helmet on and I just climb up their
just
their toilet.
Just confusing for them. Just like, if that was me and you popped out of my toilet wearing a diving helmet, it would just be confusing. It would more
How
be a case
loud
of,
is the dog now?
It would just be a case of, what are you doing? Rather than, I'm frightened.
I'm frightened. Well, I think it'd be a mix of both. It'd be an alloy of both, I think.
Yeah, definitely wear your waistcoat, get yourself a diving helmet on. Go round there with a diving helmet on.
Yeah, indeed.
They can't do anything to you then. They cannot do anything to you because you'll be protected by a very, very heavy alloy kind of diving helmet. All right, Peter, let's have a quick break, within which hopefully we'll neither incur the wrath of any of our neighbours. And then when we come back, it's time to do some battery brands, because it's that time of the week already, can you believe?
Certainly is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, it's the Look at Pete show. I am the Pete part of it, and Luke is with me. We're going to do some battery brands. Batteries. Three of them, if you're lucky. Michael has got in touch, and he has found a battery on a recent trick. No, a recent trip to Morocco. Maybe it was a trick. Maybe he fell asleep at Mr. T, and they'd put a pill in his burger.
Possible.
That seems very problematic nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, during a recent trip to Morocco, I've got absolutely no concept of what it is like apart from bazaars and spices in little pyramids.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably really problematic of us to say that, but I don't really know that much about Morocco myself, mate.
Luke, I have played the Hitman level that's set in Morocco, and it's basically bald men in traditional Arab dress that you've stolen off a dead man, jumping over walls and lock picking and setting traps all around the spice markets of Morocco.
Sounds pretty good.
That's pretty much Morocco. That was Michael. He was in Morocco and his fiancé was struck down with a violent case of the runs. I took the opportunity to have a poke around for some battery entries, and I found these bad boys in the air conditioning remote. It's just good that you were just on hand to help.
I also like the fact that he sent a picture of him and his fiance standing in front of a load of massive cannabis plants as well.
Good stuff. Michael's come in with gritty, super heavy duty, and also Boss Premium as well.
So gritty, no, sorry, Michael, but Boss Premium, yes, they are new players. Congratulations to you.
Congratulations, Michael, and good job on the old double bubble on the email. Gritty, super heavy duty sounds like what she was experiencing. Kevin, greetings, gentlemen. While setting up a new LG TV, I found these Daily Max bad boys in the TV remote, the kind of remote you can only find in hotel rooms that has 80 buttons on a tiny remote. New player. When we were in Cardiff at the weekend, they gave us our TV remote in a little Ziploc bag. Went, this has been sterilised.
Yeah,
we didn't use
that
in the end. Yeah,
I've seen that.
But are you expected to take it out of the bag, though?
I don't know, but Daily Max aren't a new player. Okay. In terms of... Kevin. The bag, I mean, I think they probably want you to take it out and they'll re-sterilise it again, but maybe, I guess you could technically use it within the bag, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Might be a bit weird, though.
So why even... Yeah, why even... I don't know, to be honest. Hello to Aidan. Finally for now. Here's a treat. Hello, gentlemen and Luke. Recently, my two-year-old son found my old talking Boonie and Beefy, David Boone and Sir Ian Botham collectibles. They used to talk to each other during the cricket TV coverage here in Australia back in the early 2000s. Now, they look fucking brilliant. So they are promotional little figurines for Victoria Bitter, a drink I don't think I've ever flirted with, to be honest. They've got three AA batteries in them, and apparently they just chatter on to each other.
I think they're AAAs, mate.
Are they AAAs?
Yeah, looks like it to me.
They would pick up a frequency in the commentary. What? Oh, so they would pick up a frequency in the commentary on the television and start a conversation with each other, and occasionally out of nowhere, when the cricket wasn't even on... Boonie would be heard saying things like, "Is it bin night tonight?" Anyway, I thought it best to remove the original batteries in case they leaked and found these Vinny extra heavy duty AAAs. What do we think? A chance of a new player, maybe? I think they came free with a carton of VB stubbies. So much value in a carton of VB stubbies, fella. This is absolutely fantastic news. I'm less excited about the Vinny extra heavy duty because I'm fairly certain, Aidan, that we've had Vinny extra heavy duty many times.
Yeah.
And pretty recently as well. But if we could move on to the Boonie and the Beefy.
Yeah, so can I ask, Pete, so obviously you know who Ian Botham Beefy is, right?
I know
do you know who David Boone is?
No. Would he be likely to post a picture of his cock on the internet?
I don't really know if I can answer that truthfully because I'm fairly certain he hasn't done that. But my opinion is there is potential for it.
I guess you've got to assume that he's got the required material.
Let me answer it this way. They're both very good friends.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Do you reckon that
Beefy Botham said, "Hello, David. I think what I'm doing really into in the moment is putting my penis on the internet and pretending I've been hacked."
He doesn't speak anything like that.
How does he talk like? What's he talk like?
How does he talk like?
He sort of talks like this, doesn't he? "I don't like women." if they want to post us the nappies, they can. He talks like that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I suppose you've got the timbre right. You've got the kind of attitude right. I think you've got the actual voice. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. You've got the energy right. So David Boone is an Australian cricketer.
He looks great. What a look. He looks like a proper
Aussie. He's a batsman with a massive
moustache. Absolute tash. Wow.
Our Australian listeners will be able to fill the blanks in here. But he's well known for... having, shall we say, like a colourful character, very hard drinking, very party heavy kind of guy. And I like the fact that, like, in cricket around that time, like, you could look like that and still have a reputation for being a real party boy.
And
the thing that he became kind of most known for outside of his kind of cricketing achievements is that every time they played the Ashes, England's cricket team would either travel to Australia and Australia's team or Australia's team would travel to England, right? And they would compete in the Ashes every few years or whatever it is. Excuse me. And it became a big thing that the record for the amount of beers you could consume on that flight.
I have, yes, okay. That's
and David fair. Boone okay. apparently still has the record today, because obviously, you know, professional sport's not like it used to be. But apparently from Sydney to London in 1989, he drank 52 cans of beer.
Yeah, that's It's just a lot of trips to the toilet, isn't it? Were they
Once
stubbies?
You broke the seal there, you're in big trouble.
VB stubbies, maybe?
maybe they must have been, yeah. They must have been little small cans. I mean, he's promoting VB there, Victoria Bitter there, isn't he? So
yeah, I just want to know the whole... So when the television production was on, they would transmit a specific radio signal, so sound signal, that the VB, Victoria Bitters, Boney and Beathy characters would pick up and they'd start to chatter at different times. Which makes it kind of all the sadder that those frequencies are lost to the sands of time. Yeah, so they will fall silent forever.
Do you want to know what the a health expert for the Australian Australian Health Service thought about the campaign?
Right, yeah.
Called it a dog whistle marketing strategy directed at the heavy drinkers.
It's good stuff. I just find it sad that these characters will never talk again because no one will be able to find that audio signal to play it for those characters to speak again.
Well, that's a little challenge for you, Matt. I reckon you could probably engineer some kind of workaround for that and buy a couple of those figurines yourself, I would say. Apparently, they came free with a carton of, like, VB stubbies, yeah.
Well, wasn't there a guy... So on a similar tack, there was a man... it's actually in the running order here. A man who married a hologram in Japan. He could no longer communicate with his virtual wife because the company owns the technology.
I heard about this, yeah.
To allow the fictional character to talk. They've gone bust or whatever, and so now they don't run the service anymore, which means that the virtual wife can't speak anymore. So it's a little bit when they had to sort of come up with a solution for who wrote the history of fucking time?
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, when they had to replace his voice box with a similar thing, but they found it very difficult to find the chips, and they found the technology to recreate exactly the timbre and the way that that voice box would have been made in, I don't know, the 80s or whatever. It's very, very.
But should someone
weird.
Be able to have the ability to marry a hologram though? Is it some deeper issue at play here?
Well, I mean, bearing in mind that in Japan there was a famous case 2 weeks ago, I think, where they have a train ticket that if you are woman and man and wife, you can get a cheaper train ticket because you get, you know, a partner's discount or whatever. But even though a gay couple had their... their wedding ratified by the Japanese government just for some weird reason. The JR, Japanese Rail Company, wouldn't ratify this cheaper
Why?
Ticket. It's just very, quite a repressive society. They're just fucking
right,
weird.
That's outrageous. That's not comparable, is it?
Well, it's a mixture of a society who are scared of bending rules, and also being a society that are just obsessed with what people fucking get up to in the bedroom in many cases. But I'm just saying that they are that he's allowed to marry Hatsune Miku, the virtual character, for 15 years, but they can't enjoy the fruits of a loving relationship, aka cheaper train travel.
Yeah, well, that's a bonus. I mean, it should be absolutely eligible, and I think that's outrageous.
Hmm.
Peter, changing trains slightly, I had a conversation on brief conversation with a listener online last week,
right?
Saying
about
they
my
were
behavior?
Saying that. About you, just specifically about your behaviour. Yeah.
Okay.
No, and they said because I shared a screenshot of a handful of WhatsApp messages you sent to me about how angry you would be if you were to encounter a UFO.
Yeah, I'd be really pissed off because I'm so not into UFOs, and if it happened to, I was watching the film Nope. A few days ago.
Oh, yeah,
ago.
Good movie, right?
Yeah, fun. A lot of fun. A lot of people that I know don't seem to like it, though, which I don't really understand.
I don't think it was as good as his other two movies that I've seen, but I still liked it.
Yeah, I liked it, too. But, yeah, they're in a... and I was watching it, I was like going, I mean, it does look fucking amazing. It would be amazing if a UFO landed. So I'm back on top.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's good, because it's good to hear, because the listener in question who replied was talking about They would pay to listen to a couple of episodes of the Luke and Pete show, UFO Hunters, where we go out into the a UFO hotspot in the UK and try and find them.
Yeah. Is there a UFO spot in the UK?
Yeah, there is. It's in Suffolk, I think.
What a surprise.
Well, I'd love you to elaborate on that.
Not elaborating it.
I've got to do some more research into it, but I think it's Suffolk. There might be one in Scotland as well, but I'll double check. I mean, probably based around Air Force bases, right?
Yeah, or pubs.
Yeah. Well, that's what we found out before. We got people to send in their encounters, and they were all on the way. Every single email was like, on the way back from a pub one night. So, anyway. All right, Peter, That's probably about all we've got time for this time around. So why don't we bid our lovely listeners adieu and say we'll see them on Monday. Uh-huh. I think we've got a treat coming up because you and I are off overseas, aren't we? So we're going to record a couple of episodes from wherever it is we're going.
We certainly are.
So listen out for that. I think they'll probably be the next episodes you hear, actually. You've got to try and get the calendar right, but sounds like they will be. So look out for that. Listen out for that. Keep it locked on the Luke and Pete show. Make sure you hit that subscribe button to make sure you don't miss an episode. And, we'll be back with you on Monday.
Mm-hmm. And we'd like to give massive congratulations to Ben Bella, who was elected the first president of Algeria this day in 1963. So
congratulations to you, Ben. All the very best. I'm hoping you didn't have a truly horrific political career.
Let's have a look, shall we? He died in 2012. Illness, death and state funeral. You got a state funeral. House arrest. Yeah, it's a pretty detailed Wikipedia, to be honest. Let's leave it.
That's probably a bad sign. Rest in peace anyway. You can't speak to the dead. It's not right.
Peace. Farewell, everyone. We'll be back very soon with more. Luke and Pete Show. It's what we do. It's what we live to do.
See ya.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.